The Core Cast.
Welcome to Shoot the Corecast, the official companion podcast to the RF Generation Shmup Club. This is a family-friendly shmup-themed podcast that all we want for Christmas is M2. I'm Addicted, also known as Addicted to Shmups, and with me as always is...
Metal Fro, also known as Game Boy Guru. And if you would like to connect with the podcast, you can do so in a number of ways. You can follow us over on X, aka Twitter, at ShootCoreCast. You can follow me directly there at Game Boy Guru. You can also find us on Blue Sky. Search Shoot the Corecast there. You can find links to all the feeds and various social media and everything on our Linktree page. That's linktr.ee/shootthecorecast. You'll also find a link there to our Discord server. I highly encourage you to join that because that is where our community is, and that's where we do each game of the month. People play through with us and, comment there, share their high scores and feelings about the games and whatnot. And so definitely come check it out. We've got a great community and a lot of fun folks there who are pretty engaged and, enjoy kind of the month-by-month interactions. Also, if you would do all the social media stuff or all the engagement stuff, like the podcast, follow the podcast, subscribe, rate the podcast, review the podcast, etc. I went back and found, I didn't even realize that you could do comments on episodes in Spotify, but you can. And so I went back and answered a couple of old comments. Apologies for not knowing about that. I didn't get notifications about those comments coming in. They must not send you those. And so anyway, I know about it now, so I'll have to make a point to check on that. And then also follow me on Twitch so that you can be notified of new streams, because I do stream the Shmup Club Game of the Month multiple times every month. And that is twitch.tv/GuruGameBoy.
All right, so let's move on to our focus shot of January, which is DDP, DFK, Rez, word salad. So I have not had a chance to play any DDP just yet, nor have a chance to. Even last month, I didn't chance to play any Rolling Gun or things. I saw a meme posted and someone said the new year should start in February because there's still so much going on in January, and 100% right on that. I am just swamped with stuff regarding work or stuff with kids and other issues right now. I'm trying to route through life, which is incredibly difficult. So
right.
I will get to it shortly. How about you?
Yeah, actually, I did put some time into this. I have already managed a novice 1.5 clear. And that was with the B-type ship and strong style, I think, which is the combo of power and bomb style. And then yesterday morning, I managed a very scrappy clear of novice black label, and that was with... I think that was with A type. I don't remember now. and it wasn't a like full clear in the sense that it wasn't Hibachi. It was just Golden Disaster, AKA Taisabachi. But I still felt pretty good about getting that done, so quickly. Had I got enough Bs and met some of the requirements in order to unlock Hibachi, I probably would not have cleared because Taisabachi was crazy enough as it was. Black Label Novice is no joke. And so that was cool to be able to, you know, go in and get that much done. I do need to go back and try to get a more legit clear. The thing that bothers me is that I made a mistake right away in stage one. So I did a reset instead of going back to the menu and going back in. When you do a reset, you can't save your score and you can't save your replay. So of course, the only evidence I have of this is that I took a photo of the end sequence, but I'll go back and do it legit as well. I also went through and did a 25cc or something like that of Black Label Arrange, aka Katsupachi. And holy cow, is that mode insane. I don't see myself clearing that mode anytime soon, if ever, but wow, there's a lot going on there, and you absolutely have to know the location of the bees before you go in, because the screen is just so busy that seeing the indications as to where they are and then being able to reveal them within that mode, good luck, because it is very, very busy, but kind of cool. And so I haven't tried the other arrange modes yet, and I haven't really, you know, taken any time to try to do like a legit run on just regular 1.5. But I have been, you know, exploring a little bit, and shout out to, you know, members in the Discord. We've already had a couple of two loop runs on the game here. I was going to go back and look and see if I could find, I guess I didn't pin those. I'll need to go back and pin those, but Scoush has already been to loop two and has already cleared, you know, the main game. Master Who made it to 2-4. And so, yeah, definitely some really cool stuff, you know, players already getting in there. The Orange got a Black Label Novice 1cc already. In fact, let me see here. Type B, bomb style. So yeah, I mean, there's already been quite a bit of activity on this, which I was very happy to see. And so hopefully we retain engagement with this, you know, through the year a little bit better than we did with Rolling Gunner.
Nice. Yeah. And the thing goes for me, I really do like Rolling Gunner. Don't think that my lack of playtime was due to my dislike of it or anything like that. It was just there is so much going on with life that it can sometimes make hard to pew-pew
or yeah.
to shoot them up. So thank you, everybody, for getting started to a great new year. And in there, I hope to hear more clears in the coming months. All right, let's move on to the shmup news. YouTuber Mr. Brick Artist showed off a build of the Vic Viper, particularly the Gradius V version, or Gradius V version. This video has a link where you can... yes, this video, everyone just listen to it, and I'll read it off to you. We'll do some ASMR YouTube reading. He is quietly putting the bricks together. The blue brick is going on top of the white brick. And there was much rejoicing.
Limited Run Games has pre-orders open now for Volume 1 of the Capcom Arcade Studio for Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. There are multiple cover variants for each, though sadly no shmup-focused covers.
That's okay. I imagine most of the covers are pretty much of the yellow key art that was used for this.
Well,
it's
there's
neat to see it's getting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say there's Ghouls and Ghosts, Final Fight, Strider, and Captain Commando.
I did like the key art. Don't get me wrong, but I think the best one that Capcom ever did was One for the Saturn or the original PlayStation.
Mm.
The 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah.
One through five. Yeah. So those are really great to see. Although, with this, you only got two in the collection. Still, very cool. I'm not sure I like this collection enough to actually buy it outside of, or buy a physical of it, just because the emulation isn't as good as I want it to be. I still bought it. I own it on Steam. But overall, I was a little disappointed about the authenticity of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was okay.
It's certainly better than like some of the stuff that you get from like One Up Arcade. They won't be gone for a month. And I already forgot them. Arcade One Up.
Yeah.
With their cabinets on there, some of the earlier Evercade ports. It is certainly better than that. And I enjoy using on Steam. Do I want to pay limited run tax? This one I'll probably pass. I'm certain there'll be other good shmups coming down the line.
Yeah.
We still haven't seen the last Switch DDP game, SDOJ. I need more coffee. SDOJ.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that hasn't received a physical. I'm hoping that will be this year.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. Livewire may be skittish about that after the licensing on the others expired so quickly.
Yeah. Understandable. Hopefully we do get a physical of that, because it can't stay locked to the 360 either. Someone's got to do it. Cosmic Brothers is a vertical shooter in development from Namco Games. This sounds like people were... It's like they spelled Namco wrong. It's not Namcot, it's Namco. Namco Games is very early in development, but a browser preview can be played on the developer's itch.io page.
Yeah, it's very primitive right now, so just keep that in mind. Imperius is a new free-to-play Danmaku shooter from Ludi Antiqui. It can be downloaded from the developer's itch.io page. It's a short game based around angels warring in heaven, and you control one of two gun-toting angels in the conflict.
Reddit user FoxFX has a work in progress showing of concept footage of a new idea of a shooter involving magic circles that would determine which attack your character will fire. You can overlap circles to create combo attacks as well. This isn't defined yet, but it's a promising idea. We'd like to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, someone in the Reddit post made a comment based on the video that was shown off. It's basically, this is Venn diagram the shmup. But yeah, actually, it's a kind of a cool idea. And so I hope whomever this dev is, you know, runs with it and actually makes something cool, because the idea is solid.
Maybe someone will just reskin Cotton with this, add this element, and call it Harry Potter the Shmup.
Ha, right.
Well, there was that ROM hack of the... Wasn't it Titanic, was it? I think it was. I think about the Famicom ROM hack that became a Harry Potter belt scroller, I think it was. No, it may have been an action game.
Huh.
It got really weird once you got... there's, of course, Famicom bootlegs for almost anything, right? But the Titanic... I think this was not the Titanic one, the terrible one. This was a slightly better Titanic game that was reskinned to be a Harry Potter game.
Interesting.
I'm sure there's a weird rabbit hole out there. Someone's made a whole YouTube video on, or a webpage.
There you go. Roguelite shooter Burst Witch has been delisted from Steam. And that's interesting, because this game is... We mentioned this a while back when it was announced that it was coming to Steam. But it seems like it hasn't been that long that it's been up. So I don't know what the circumstances are behind the delisting, but it's interesting that it doesn't seem to have lasted that long.
Well, I think we can all agree that no matter what the circumstances, we hope that it's available to buy and play again soon.
Right.
Japanese developer KT has released a free shooter styled after the classic Bosconian, but is more active game with large boss battles and a gateway fire. The game is called MXG Strike Counter and can be downloaded from the UnityRoom.com site.
Yeah, the video footage I saw of this looked pretty cool. So I'll definitely have to check this one out.
Well, you know that I'm having trouble here. I have to increase the font size up to old man.
Same. The most recent round of pre-orders for physical copies of Gunbane will be shipping as of January 19th, according to a blog post from NGDev. Also, the Fast Striker EX release has been delayed, though NGDev states that the game cards are in production at Nintendo. A small batch of pre-orders will open Friday, January 23rd for Europe, Canada, and Asia due to shipping and tariff complications with the U.S. And then once the physical product is in hand, a third batch will be opened up.
Nice. It's always good to see more availability for Gunbane. More people should definitely be playing that game.
Absolutely.
Success has succeeded at delaying the release of Siveria 3 to May 21st. This is pushed back from the original March 19th planned release date. The game is still in development from Banana Byte Studio, who had previously released Silphstar. The final product will also be published by Red Art Games, which handled Silphstar as well. And if it's anything like Silphstar, take a look at New York. This will be the episode where Addicted forgets everything. It just goes out. but I can't. The New York store. What's the name of that? New York Video Games or?
VGNY.
Video Games New York. Yeah, Video Games New York. Yeah, they're the one with New York in the title. No. I really am forgetting everything here. Video Games New York had Silphstar for, I think it was like $15 a copy when it first came out. So I'll definitely be checking them out to see if I can score a cheap copy there.
Nice. E-Towner has released what is described as the Bullet Hell Dev's Best Friend kit on itch.io for €9.99 or more. It includes several tools, including what's called Bullet ML, or the markup language for developing bullet patterns, some dynamic boss AI, geometric shape pattern builder, procedural pixel sprite generator, and more stuff. And so, if you're developing shmups, might be worth a look.
Einen will be offering a North American standard release of R-Type Dimensions 3 for Switch, Switch 2, and PS5. The Switch 2 version will be on a game card. Well, I don't think I have to tell you this because I'm certain you've probably pre-ordered all versions.
Well, not yet, actually. I was kind of waiting for final confirmation on the Switch 2 thing, but now that I know, this will be going in my pre-order list. A Kickstarter campaign is coming soon from Pixel Heart for Super Storm Buster, a new SNES vertical shooter in development. Early work in progress footage shows the game has some Danmaku patterns, but otherwise kind of a general Raiden sort of style. The one work in progress video that someone shared in our Discord did look a little bit early in terms of the footage, and so I'm hoping that whatever the sizzle reel is that they use for the Kickstarter campaign is a little bit more impressive than the 43 seconds of footage that was in this YouTube video, because even though it looks cool sprite wise it seemed a little bit underwhelming. So I guess we'll see how this shapes out otherwise.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, not every new shmup can have Yuzo Koshiro, but at the same time, hopefully it gets some added funds to probably put out a finished product. I mean, they're off to a right start, right? With a super in the name, that's at least got you halfway there.
Well, exactly.
Yep, and as the rest, well, Guess you're just going to have to live on a prayer. All right, with those bad jokes out of the way, the Switch version of Bakurisoft's Revolvo Gear Zero is set to release on parity with the Steam version on February 19th. A demo is already available to check out. Well, another thing for me to check out on Steam here.
Yeah, I've already heard good things from folks about the demo. And, I mean, Bakurisoft does good work, so I expect this game will be of high quality as well. And finally, Japanese publisher Mebius has announced the Fushigi na Shooting Game Matsuri, a live shooting game event set to take place on Friday, February 1st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that will be Japan time. I didn't get the full context of where it's going to be held, but I think it's in person only. There was no mention in the social media post about whether or not there would be a stream, but the participants confirmed to be involved are RS34, Chimera Special Agency, Cosmo Machia, Kosen, Columbus Circle, Success, Beep, Pixel Company, Mebius, and Rocket Engine. And all of this info comes courtesy of GSK.
So, for the month of December, we ended up playing Santa Atlantean, the only game where you can ruin Christmas faster than the Grinch. And for those that played with us, they were Corkman77 and D. Tunston. So, Santa Atlantean is a Christmas-themed shooter from developer Aetherbyte. This is a sprite-swapped, simplified take on the previous game, Atlantean, which received a retailer release for the TurboGrafx-16 and the PC Engine. Good thing it was not the PG Engine. it was definitely not with a game like Toilet Kids. Atlantean released on October 2014, and a free download of Santa Atlantean received a year later in 2015. The game is still freely available to download from the Aetherbyte website. So, let's move on to the most important part of any shmup, the story. Jealous of all her time, her husband spends drinking cherry and eating biscuits in other people's houses. Mrs. Claus decides the only way to be rid of her overweight husband is to put an evil spell on him for Christmas decorations and let them do the dirty work for her. As Santa, you must destroy these festive fiends, but beware. Evil baubles are lying in wait. Candy canes attack without warning, and scented candles are out to burn your beard off. Those scented candles will get you every time. So, Santa Atlantean is a Defender-like game. You can scroll left or right on the playfield at will. Like Defender, there's a radar at the top of the screen showing your position relative to enemies in the stage. There are three actions in the game you can do. One button fires your weapon. One button fires a smart bomb, which I have to question on here. What type of smart bomb are these? Are these like PS2 powered or guided missiles? Or are they more like the Dreamcast is thinking guided smart bombs?
It's you press the button and everything on the screen goes away button.
Oh, okay. So it's definitely PS2 powered. The run button does a sort of warp effect when your flying Santa will zoom across the screen to a different area of the playfield. You have invincible or iframes while this warp is in progress. Santa will be accosted. I just love to use the word accosted here. Because all I could think of was that Monty Python and the quest for the Holy Grail. They were, help, help, I'm being repressed. All right, he'll be accosted by several enemies in the game. Decorative balls will fly in your general direction and shoot bullets at you as they bounce along the screen. Flying mugs of hot chocolate don't attack, but they make a sine wave pattern across the screen. They'll drop holly and berries that become obstacles. You cannot shoot them down, and only your smart bomb is capable of clearing them. Oh, geez, that emotion engine, it takes care of them every time. Christmas bells move slowly in a slight angle pattern, but can zoom in a direction and quickly catch you off guard. Christmas stars move from left to right of the playfield and make large counterclockwise circles as they travel. When you destroy a star, it will split off into three candy canes that can partially home in on your position. Enemy bullets despawn after traveling some distance, so they don't last forever. Smart bombs can also clear bullets. Once you've cleared all enemies in a wave, you get another wave, and the game just keeps going. There's no win condition. It's just like life, only a score chaser. After each wave you successfully complete, you can earn another smart bomb. You can stockpile many of them to use in later waves. There are no extents in the game, and you have 3 lives to start, and that's all you get. Once you lose a life, the screen shakes with multiple explosions, and you're told, like the Grinch, that you have ruined Christmas. When you take a death in the game, you get very few iframes, so the enemies are in your position. You want to move as fast as soon as you can to... as soon as you respawn. There's a glitch in the game that essentially hold down the start and fire buttons at the same time and just move around to target enemies. You'll essentially be invulnerable while doing so.
Yeah, and I don't know who discovered that, but that seems to have been exploited from a high score standpoint, which I'll get into later when I cover the scores. But
you're saying they accosted the high score?
Indeed they did.
Someone's going to make a shirt for the, this says, I've been accosted.
Now, talking about the graphics briefly, the game has what I would call quirky graphics. There are some positives, such as multiple layers of parallax scrolling, and there are some nice sprites and background elements, but the perspective is way off. For example, the Christmas trees in the back layer are extremely tall and large, but the toy workshop buildings are very small in comparison, even though they are closer to the foreground. There's also a lot of sprite flicker and background layer flicker as well, which can be distracting. But the sprite work is reasonably good for the simplistic look of the game, and it's also very colorful. And if a large number of enemies and bullets are on screen at once, the game will slow down a fair bit as well. I noticed that in my stream. At one point, early on, I hadn't really developed my strategy yet, and I was kind of panicking and moving really quickly. And there was, 8 or 9 enemies on screen, plus Holly, plus bullets. And so, yeah, the slowdown was real. Now, as far as the sound, it's very basic. You have a typical kind of pingy shot sound, but crunchy enemy explosion sounds, basic sound for the use of the smart bomb, and honestly, the most impactful sound in the game is when you die your last life, and there's a whole bunch of explosions. It's just popping all over the place, and so that one is the most, kind of the most... noticeable one. The music in the game is also very sparse, and there are only 3 tracks. The title screen has a short theme that's an arrangement of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and then while the game is playing, you get a unique arrangement of Here Comes Santa Claus Instead. Someone in my stream might have been Corkman. I don't remember for sure, but someone said that it was legally distinct Christmas music. And then when you die, you get a sort of chiptune version of Blue Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley. And these are the only 3 tracks in the game. And when you go into the game's options menu, you can listen to them. As far as scoring, the main thing with scoring is that it's just really basic. Basically, stay alive as long as you can, use your smart bombs to destroy groups of holly and berries for extra score, and shoot everything. And don't die. And that's it.
Don't die, get good. That's all you need to know.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to our impressions from the ARF Generation community. We have one here from Corkman77. I played Forbidden and got wrecked by the stars that burst into candy canes to me. Oh, jeez, yes. Yes. It's a fun little game. It's not going to replace Soldier Blade or Blazing Lasers, but it's worth the download. It could use some power-ups and background change or music change, but you can't complain too much with something that's free.
Exactly. D. Tungsten said, so I should give a few thoughts as I'm uploading my video to YouTube of my play of it from the other day. I liked it. It's very simple and feels like it could use something additional, like bosses or an ending or something like that. But for free, one really can't complain too much. I was thinking it would be a fun game to play with the family or something with a big group of relatives, but then I got good enough to play for an hour on one go, so maybe not. What else can I say about it? Overall, I liked it and found it worthwhile. Good for a free holiday-themed game. Colors are nice, control is responsive. Music isn't too grating if you're playing and in the zone. It does get a little monotonous if you're listening to someone else play. Doesn't offer a ton of sophistication, but is fun for a quick go or a few around Christmas time. And speaking of D. Tungsten, he and I were the only ones who submitted score. And so I had the top score. I ended up with a marathon run of the game. And actually, I'm going to jump to my YouTube channel here just so I can double check because... yeah, my run was a little under an hour and a half for that. It was an hour and 22 minutes, almost 23, that I played a single run of the game. And like I said, it was just me scoring. And I ended up with 662,780 points. And then D. Tungsten ended up with 64,640 points. Now, I want to make a point here on the scoring because it might have been Diane from the Discord who pointed out that, because I was asking, like, are there any other scores of this game that are this high? Because I saw another YouTube video, or there was another YouTube video that was just under 200,000 points, and this was done legit the way that I did it. But apparently this scoring glitch... or this movement glitch was known. And so if you go on to the RetroArch forums, there are people who have scored way higher. I think the highest score is something like 2 million plus. And so, I mean, it's just a ridiculous amount of points for this. 2,554,805 points from someone named Hots Croc, and then another that's 1.5 million, and then this 8-bit Mephisto is 700,000. And so my score is number 4 on that list, or would be 4 on that list if I was scoring it. And these are all from like December of 2023. But as far as I'm aware, everybody's using the glitch to get these. And so until someone can prove me wrong or can share footage of their run, I'm going to unofficially say that I have the glitchless world record in this game because my run was so was legit because I was playing it, you know, on real hardware just via flash cart and was basically just playing along and kind of got in the zone. And I suspect that if I went back and tried it again and got in the zone again, I may be able to go even further with it.
So what you're saying is you're putting all of them on notice or on the naughty list?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I said, I think that I probably have the highest legit score of the game that is not using or abusing the glitch.
Nice. So what about your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Corkman and D. Tungsten in the sense that, I mean, the game is free. You can't really complain about it too much. Obviously, it's got some issues. That glitch is a huge one. And the graphical issues I mentioned are there. But honestly, they don't detract too much from what is just kind of a simple, fun, Defender-like game that... you know, is fun to boot up and play. Is it a game that I'm going to boot up every Christmas and play? Probably not, but in another year or so, I might get an itch to boot it up and mess with it for a few minutes. I thought it was pretty cool that you can really stockpile the smart bombs and just go nuts with that, because you really can. You know, if you watch my videos of that, you can see that I got something like 12 or 13 bombs at one point before I started to really use them quite a bit in order to clear out the holly for extra points. Because, you know, every time you complete an enemy wave, you get another one. So if you do a wave without using any bombs, then you earn another one. Or even if you do use a bomb, you still earn another one. So you really build up a pretty healthy stock of those, and it's kind of fun to be able to do that. And it allows you to panic bomb as well, so that you can get out of pretty hairy situations. I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more of a defender element, because there are a bunch of little dancing gingerbread men at the bottom of the screen. And so I was a little bit disappointed that the Christmas decorations weren't somehow going and snatching up the gingerbread men, so that you'd have to destroy those in order to drop the gingerbread men back down to the ground. That would have been cool and made it even more defender-like, but honestly, for what it is, for a free game, I had a good time with it, and, you know, the handful of times I streamed it, I felt like I got a pretty good handle on it, and I got what I wanted out of the game. What about you?
Yeah, as for me, I had played this game before I suggested it, because I knew it was sort of like a quick pick-up and play, and it really didn't have any special goal. This is more akin to something that the gameplay you get from like a Atari 2600 game, right?
Yeah.
I pick up and play for a little bit, and that's it. Some people might say it's getting closer and closer to evolving into the graphics of a 2600, but you know, that's neither here nor there. For what you paid for it and for what the enjoyment you get out of it, they pretty much line up, in my opinion. You don't have to worry about... You know, I expect a defender-like game. As you said, I would have preferred to have the gingerbread more there, maybe a little more animation, fix some of the backgrounds a little bit. But considering that I didn't develop it, I didn't pay anything for it, I got to play it, enjoy my 5 or 10 minutes out of it. I didn't quite get in the zone like you, but that's all right. It's definitely worth it. And if someone's looking for just a little time waster during Christmas where they could gather people around and try and beat their high scores, especially after maybe they've had a little too much eggnog or too much Tex-Mexium, you know, it works. So this is good. This is not everyone trying to get to Death Mouse 2, right? We had the option of going with that, but it was just too much to ask of everyone after dealing with Blue Revolver and Hazelnut Hex and all the other games on there. We will eventually get there, but we need something light, right? Because everyone was so busy, and there is so much going on, so much stress. Just having a chance to unwind for a couple minutes is what the December game is supposed to be all about. So that's why we went with San Atlantean, which definitely has some flaws. But hey, for the price you pay, you certainly get some 5 or 10 minutes worth of enjoyment out of
it. Well, and you mentioned the 2600 thing. You know, I kind of felt like it was a nice nod to our first Christmas, because that was our Atari 2600 showdown where we did Spider Fighters and Demon Attack. And even though this game is, I would say, as simple or simpler than those two, you know, you don't have a lot of commitment playing games like that. You can jump in, mess around with it for half an hour, and then put it down. And so I feel like not only was it a nice nod to kind of returning back to that real simplistic setup, but yeah, it just made for a nice December game, because A, I didn't have to stream it that much, and then B, you know, we didn't require that much from the community. I was a little disappointed because it was a free game that we didn't have a little bit more engagement with it, especially because of how little you would have to play it to really get a good sense of it and then offer some thoughts. But I mean, not every game is going to resonate.
No, and that's why we do sometimes these little curveballs on here. Test the waters, try something new. Because if we don't change things up every once in a while, then it becomes too stagnant, and then that's just not good for anybody. So, and if you didn't join, I'm certain we already got tons of participation in the DFK. And we've got some interesting stuff dealing with right now with the two Lynx games. I forget which one, but one of them immediately screamed to me, "We've been trying to reach you regarding your ship's extended warranty." It was like challenges, like, "You think you're going to cash in that extended warranty? Well, just try, because you might destroy your ship."
I wonder if that's Zarler Mercenary.
No, I think that was the Gates of Zendikon.
Okay.
I'm getting all confused because they all sound like they could have been movie starring Sean Connery. So, all right, let's move on to your top five of 2025.
Yeah. Well, as is our tradition, we always cap the episode, cap off the year when we talk about our December game with our top five of the year. And so I guess let's start with number five. My number five was Hazelnut Hex. And I like this game. You know, I came into the month thinking, oh, this is going to be a simple one because, you know, I beat it really quickly the first day that I bought it back when it first came out. But then, as we discussed on the episode, I was a little bit surprised that the difficulty of the game had been ramped up in an update. And so it took a little bit more effort to get it done. And that was actually a good thing because it made the game much more compelling to put the time into. And then, of course, I managed to 1cc with all three of the main weapon types, and then also with the and then on the moderate difficulty, you know, the harder difficulty, I got at least the 1cc. And so I vibed with this game quite a bit. I was very frustrated trying to get the 1cc with that full English weapon, but I know it's kind of a meme joke weapon. So, you know, I'm not too disappointed that I didn't get it, but I'm a little disappointed. Yeah, it's a promising start to a new developer's career. And so, in Palpatine fashion, we'll be watching with great interest in Chunderfin's career. What about your number five?
My number five has to be Razian EX. I still have like a love-hate relationship with this game. I think that it is definitely something different, and it keeps me coming back to it. But then it also can be very frustrating to me. I think we need more Polestar-type games, more like more R-type games, especially something that's more built in around a modern context. I do like it. I just wish it would resonate a little bit more with me. That said, compared to all the 1940 stuff that had been through the summer, this feels like a breath of fresh air. I just said too much 1940s. It's like we went from, someone said, okay, we've got some hamburgers. Oh, and then next month we got hamburgers, and next month we got hamburgers. After a while, I was like, okay. I don't remember much past all the hamburgers I binged on, but I do remember Razian EX. And if it did enough to stick in my mind, it's something that I've gone back to and keep trying to go back to. It definitely deserves to be at the number five spot, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, that is my number four pick. I said that I vibed with Hazelnut Hex. I really vibed with Razian EX. And to the point where I managed to 1cc the game on all three difficulties, and that hardest difficulty clear, I think it's Maniac, if I remember correctly, that was very satisfying. And the system in the game with freezing the cubes and all of that, I found to be unique, interesting, and compelling. And I really liked the sort of 90s pre-rendered 3D kind of sprite look. Nice little throwback to that era. And of course, this started life as a Neo Geo game, which is what lends itself to that look. But even more than that, I just really enjoyed how this game functioned and how I was able to kind of pick it up, figure it out, and really get a feel for it. And so I'm still in the process, as we record this, of deciding what game I want to run for Shmup Slam 5. But part of me is thinking, I might want to see if I can train on this a little bit more and get consistent enough to do a Maniac clear in an event like that, because that would be a triumphant moment.
Sorry. As soon as you said triumphant moment, the darn song from Portal popped in my head. This was a triumph. Making a note here, huge success. Yeah, I would definitely love to see you do that as well. I think that would be great. Where is Shmup Slam going to Denver again, or where are they going this year?
I believe it's going to be at the same arcade in Denver again. Yeah. But I believe Mark is targeting June this year, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Make it a little bit warmer to visit Denver.
Yeah. last year in May, it was still slightly cool. So yeah, June would be nice.
Nice. All right. So my number four has to be Twin Cobra. Not for anything grand, or I just like helicopter games. I like playing, especially helicopter shmups. Every version I've tried, no matter how terrible it may look, NES version, Genesis version, they're all different enough I could get some level of enjoyment out of them. It's not something I'm really great at, but at the same time, I do get enough enjoyment out of playing the different versions of Twin Cobra to make it worth my while. I'm not going to shmup slam it or do anything special, but it's certainly one of those games that I will seek out, pop in for a little bit, play for a little bit, and call it good.
Yeah, this is one of those that I have to relegate to primarily just casual play, because there's so much challenge with it that it has, I mean, it's Gradius syndrome, but worse. And I got the 1cc on the NES version because it's pretty forgiving. I got close to the 1cc on the PC Engine version, but man, it gets brutal toward the end. And I didn't have a prayer with the Genesis version, and certainly not with the arcade version outside of super easy mode. So I get it. It's one that is fun for a quick go, but is not one that I think I would want to ever learn for a proper clear. My number three is a game that I've been familiar with for a long time, one that I'm glad we finally covered on the podcast, and that is Biohazard Battle. This is one that I've owned for a long time, and whenever I pull out the cartridge and pop it in, I always had a good time with it, but I never played it very seriously. And so, as I said, I'm really glad that we finally sat down and worked with it, because I was able to get a couple of clears, and I'm convinced that I could probably clear with the other two ships that I didn't clear with during the month. And I nearly got a clear on the harder difficulty. And so I have a feeling that there's more I could get out of this game if I wanted to put the time in, but it's just dripping with atmosphere, and it has that great Genesis look and feel that I enjoy so much. And so some of it could be nostalgia talking. Some of it is just my love of the Genesis, but Biohazard Battle at number 3 for me.
All right. My number 3 has to be Hazelnut Hex. Hazelnut Hex is my pickup and play shmup, mainly because if I have to take one of the kids over to a doctor's appointment or something on there, taking the Switch Lite really helps out as you're sitting there in the waiting room. And the big difference between the Hazelnut Hex and playing one of the cave shmups is on the Switch Lite screen, I can actually see the bullets. Try playing the Dot Mako on the Switch Lite, and they need like one of those Game Boy, the original DMG magnifying glasses in order to tell where the heck the bullets are, at least at my age. So
yeah.
It definitely helps. It's a shmup, a Dot Mako shmup that I can play. And even if I don't 1cc the game or get very far, it's something I can still get some enjoyment out of. So it's one of the games that, again, I'm looking forward to Chunder Finn's career with great excitement, and continue to bring along with me to Minty a dentist and a doctor visit.
That's legit. My number 2 game is another one that I vibed with quite a bit, and that is Soul Cresta. This game took a lot of heat, particularly early on, because of criticisms over the graphics, and I think there were some performance issues initially, and updates that have been done to the game since have fixed a lot of these problems. But honestly, I just really enjoyed the interesting combination of the old Terra Cresta formula with updated mechanics and the 3 ship system that gave you a lot of flexibility in terms of your attacks and then, you know, different pieces on the play field that would require a certain weapon to utilize in order to destroy it or unlock something. And there's quite a bit of depth to the gameplay, a lot more than you might think on the surface. And getting the multiple 1cc's with this was very satisfying. And particularly I think the final 1cc I ended up getting was the story mode, which I can say safely that I wouldn't necessarily recommend going for a story mode 1cc just because it's so long. But it was satisfying for me to do it. And, you know, I'm not one of these people that will go for insane scores or things like that. Some folks have done the multiple loops in the game where you defeat it on platinum difficulty and you loop. I think you have to loop the game something like 2 or 3 times in order to do that. I'm not good enough to do that. But what I managed to do at my skill level was very satisfying, and it's something that I was happy to have achieved and proud to have accomplished. And so, yeah, Soul Cresta for my number 2.
Very nice. Yeah, for my number 2, I had to put Rolling Gunner. It's despite not having a chance to play the past couple months, it still is a game that I will go back to and continue to play. I don't think I'm going to play it for score or me again. I'm just looking for a chance to try and better myself and get better at the game itself without being super serious about it, right? I'm not going to study every inch and then start drawing a map and have it connected via yarn pieces and push pins. I'm not going to go that in-depth into the game. I just want to play original mode and have some fun. His overpowered mode is exactly as I mentioned. It is a little bit too of an easy mode. There I do want a little bit more challenge, so I'll stick with playing original. But the idea of having your second stick that can control everything, or having an original mode, having to reposition your options and constantly being able to do so, it's a very solid in its gameplay, and the soundtrack is good as well. Nothing about the graphics really bothers me. It strikes me a little bit more along the sprites and look of Ketsui. So all of it comes together in a pretty good package. I could see, you know, years ago why you ordered the physical copy from Japan. And again, it's still something that I would recommend to people who don't normally play shmups or STGs.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I guess that rolls nicely into my honorable mentions. I've got two of them. One of them is 1943, because of all the 19XX games, that's the one I felt like I had the most connection to. You know, I got close to, or potentially close to a 1cc of 1941, but I also got close to a 1cc of 1943 Arcade. And even though the game kind of hates me, I still have a lot of nostalgia for the NES version of 1943. I don't know that I would ever try to 1cc it, but, you know, it'd probably be worth continuing to just play that casually for what it is. Honorable mention is Rolling Gunner. And it feels a little bit wrong to make it an honorable mention as our focus shot game rather than putting it in my top five, but this is one of those games that I think my relationship to Rolling Gunner is probably similar to your relationship with Twin Cobra. This game is so difficult that I don't know if I am ever going to be able to achieve a standard 1cc of this game. Certainly, I did the novice mode. I've got close on casual, and maybe I'll go back and try to achieve that casual 1cc at some point. And, you know, I got the novice and casual over power 1ccs. I still want to try and get the standard and hard difficulty 1ccs on overpower, because I think I could probably do it. But, you know, it's one of those games that has long intimidated me, and I'm not sure it's ever not going to intimidate me. And that's why I hesitate to put it any higher in my ranking, because the rolling gun system is cool, but using it effectively is very difficult. And so, I don't know. It just, as much as I like the game in theory, and as much as I like the game in terms of what it has to offer, some part of me is still not as pleased with this game, or not, you know, I don't enjoy it as much as I thought I was going to during the course of the year. And so, anyway, that's why it ends up as an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I could definitely see it with the large difficulty. For me, that's something that, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's like, yes, it just keeps kicking me down. Maybe I really have developed Grady's 3 Arcade Syndrome, where it's like, all right, this game kicked my butt. I like it. I'm the shmup masochist. All right, so I keep playing and giving it a try. But yeah, it is definitely difficult on here. And I'm like you, I highly doubt I'm ever going to get the C1CC, but it won't stop me from keep trying and try to better myself. Because unlike golf, I know I can get better at this game. For me, my honorable mentions would have to be 1943, specifically the NES game that we, due to childhood nostalgia, that I love but hates me. That is definitely one that I will continue to play, even though the game is extremely unbalanced and very hard. The other one has to be Biohazard Battle, because despite having owning this game for over 11 years, I never tried it until now. And I was really impressed by the atmosphere of the game. The graphics are good, the soundtrack is real excellent, and the gameplay is great. This is something that I should have tried earlier, but it was one of those when I was picking up stuff like Genesis games back in 2009, 2010 for $5, $15 a pop. I just picked it up because I thought it looked neat and never gave it a chance because I found Thunder Force 4.
That's fair. Well, on to number one. And frustrations aside, and I'll say recency bias aside, my number one is Blue Revolver. I was very intimidated by this game, as with Rolling Gunner, but I found very quickly that I was able to 1cc normal a couple of times, and I suspect that I could do that again with, you know, other weapons or other characters. And even though I didn't achieve it in the month, I came reasonably close to being able to 1cc Hyper. And to me, you know, that was something that I was very proud of, given the fact that this is a legit hardcore Danmaku game. And it goes to show, A, the quality of the game, despite a few concerns I have about the design, and then B, how far I've come in just the few years that we've been doing the Shmup Club. My progress as a shmup player has not had the trajectory that I wanted, in the sense that I was hoping when we started playing these games that I would find a way to get good enough in very short order that I could start clearing most of these games every month. That hasn't happened, but being able to clear a game like Blue Revolver, even on the easy difficulty, as quickly as I did, gives me hope that I will be able to achieve that kind of goal at some point, and certainly shows that I have progressed well beyond where we were at when, you know, when we started this thing. I mean, I think about going back to the very beginning, and I think I want to say that first few months that we started in 2018, I cleared Gradius on the PSP, and then I cleared Steel Empire because it's not a super difficult game. And actually, I cleared that multiple times, but that was all I managed to do for a little while. Heck, even Lightning Force, when we played that in January of 2019, you know, that's my favorite shmup of all time, but I hadn't played it for a number of years, so I ended up not clearing that game during the month. I only ended up getting to stage 8. And so, just the progress that I have made over the years of doing this, I feel like I'm not where I want to be, but I'm certainly a lot farther along than I have been. And so, being able to play a game like Blue Revolver and do as well as I did in a short amount of time that I did is, I guess I'll just say that it makes me happy to have been able to do that. And this is a game that I feel like I could easily go back to and continue to grind away at, and maybe not be as frustrated as I was with Rolling Gunner. And so that alone is reason enough for me to you know, put it in the list. But the unique graphic design, the fantastic soundtrack, and just everything this game has going for it in terms of the scoring system and all that it allows you to do and how things work together so well, you know, I feel like from a design standpoint, it's just really, really, really impeccable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. Blue Revolver is my number one as well. I'll keep it short because you already covered so many points. I'll just say that you're looking at your replays and stuff. You're certainly a better shmup player than I am. I'm still trying to catch up and beat my, but I look at shmup playing as more of a, can I beat my own high score, right? Am I getting better? just, you know, similar to golf, right? I know I'm never going to be Tiger Woods, but can I beat my own score? Can I get better? And that's what keeps me coming back to the genre. And Blue Revolver certainly does it for me with that same itch of, yes, I can get better. Look at this. I went from getting in stage one. Okay, I understand how this mechanics work. Now I made it up to stage three. Okay, now I'm almost to 1cc in the game. It definitely has a nice progression. In my opinion, the idea that this still stands is in the middle point. It's not something that normally we recommend to new players or shmups. There, despite how easy it is, it's more like if you want to get into Danmaku, there are certainly easier games to start with. But if you're looking for that next step, that next challenge, then this game fits it perfectly. It's not as hardcore as you're going to get with some of the caves or, you know, some of the harder Tohos, but it fits a nice middle ground, of which there are very, very few titles that do this. So if you're looking for people who want to move in the next step and up their shmup games, this is the perfect game to go with.
Yeah, I think it fits nicely alongside something like Gunvane in that regard.
Yes, I would put Gunvane in the same thing as it's something that's built for people who have some experience with shmups and want to get better at it.
Yeah.
So, as we've just put the past behind us and we're moving on to January 2026, we have the Atari Lynx Double Shot with Gates of Zendikon and Zalar Mercenaries starring Sean Connery. And in February 2026, The Devil's in the Details with Devil Blade Reboot. Yes, we are finally uncovering this one, so I expect a lot of people will be excited for this one, including me.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get some good engagement with this one, because this game certainly has had a lot of praise and quite a bit of people playing it over the last few months.
Speaking of which, I mentioned earlier that I had some problems with the FPS on there. It turns out I got a new DisplayPort cable and hooked it up and then hooked up to a different monitor, and now all of a sudden all the problems disappeared. So it's either monitor or DisplayPort, which that really, you know, so it grinds my gears. But you know, it's like DisplayPort cables aren't really labeled very well. You don't even know what it is until you get the cable brand new, and then you got to make your own label for the cable in order to be able to tell what the heck it is. Yeah, it just, for all I know, it could be work on a DisplayPort 1.0 cable hooked up to a 1.4 monitor, and then it goes there because the cable's bad. That's one of the things that drives me nuts compared to HDMI cables. It's a lot easier to tell with those. But at least I've got a working way where I get more than 40 frames per second. It doesn't look like a slideshow.
Well, there you go.
All right. So let's go with the shout-outs. Atrem for the logo. I still mentioned the lovely shirts on Redbubble, which I'm sure we'll get new shirts for. I've been accosted. Kokosu for the intro and outro music. And Metaphor for streaming the Shmup Game of the Month.
Yeah. I was trying to think about what it was I wanted to shout out. And
Deep Space Waifu coming March.
No. Speaking of being delisted from Steam. No, there was something else I wanted to shout out, but I can't remember what it is right now.
Oh. No, I'm definitely going to try out that game that we mentioned here in just a moment from Revel Gear Zero, because that looks like this game could really fit in with March. Or a little bit later on this year. We just have to... I have to look at what the schedule is.
Right. Well, and that was... I guess that's one thing I wanted to say is... you and I discussed before about maybe making the schedule a little bit more open this year. And so I think starting with the March game, what we might do is throw up a poll on the Discord... and say, here's the game that we originally thought about for March, but here are some other suggestions that we had from some of you. So vote. Tell us which game you want to play in March, and then...
Which game do you want to be accosted by?
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm hoping that will help drive engagement as well, so that we get feedback from folks and they can let us know what they want to play. That way it's not just you and I picking the list and
I agree.
You know, making it
kind
of what we want.
You can name it Tex-Mexian time. Do you want spicy or mild?
There you go.
All right.
Alrighty.
Yes, well, sir.
With all that said, I guess that wraps us up for our 2025 games, and we are into 2026. And so hopefully we will see you with this year's games and get your commentary in the Discord and all of that. So anyway, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you.